This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligi Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday as the Cardinals last night got a great win against the San Diego Padres. Welcome in to the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang. Alongside Mike Claiborne, who is in San Diego, he's got the call of this series with Rick Jordan. I'm Matt Pauly, coming your way from St. Louis. Cardinals win last night by a 2-1 score. Apple TV broadcaster Wayne Randazzo is going to join us at about 12:30. Tonight, the Cardinals are on Apple TV. But right now, we do welcome Claibs on to the program. Claibs, good to see you. Good to talk to you. And last night was a good win for the Cardinals.
It really was, Matt, in a lot of different reasons. Defensively, they were really, really good. Matthew Liberatore gave them a chance. There were a lot of good things that I saw last night that I think you hope to build on. This San Diego bunch isn't hitting right now. But, man, what an electric environment that they have. And you know that Machado and Tatis and a couple other guys are going to start swinging the bat better. So you better get them while you can, because when you play this team, you know, it's really six innings, maybe seven, because their bullpen is lights out. Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals were able to survive that last night. And let's see if we can do it again.
Yeah, one of the things I was really curious going into this series is – the Cardinals have been fantastic in scoring runs in the final three innings. They're one of the best in Major League Baseball when it comes to scoring runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I think that's a really impressive stat, because so often you're facing off against teams' high-leverage relievers in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. So they've been able to have a ton of success against high-end pitching. Now, they maybe haven't seen a bullpen as good as the Padres. They certainly have not seen a closer like Mason Miller, and hopefully they don't see much of Miller over these 4 days. But I was curious to see what it was going to look like in the final few innings, and lo and behold, yesterday, Claibs, they get to the Padres' bullpen, and they're able to push across what turns into the winning run.
Yeah, you're right. And just to support what you just your statement, after the 7th inning, get these numbers for OPS: Weatherholt 789. Let's see here. Herrera 925. Burley 970. Walker 1146. I mean, the numbers are very impressive after the 7th inning, and it just says a lot about the commitment. They've changed a few things with regard to direction, and it's starting to show. And the fact that this is something that we saw starting in spring training, their commitment to detail, and just having a different approach as far as hitting is concerned. And I thought the best example last night was Mason Wynn, who played a little bit more. He's been talking about it all spring, and certainly he was able to do it last night. And, you know, you start to see that a little bit more. You're tougher to play against.
Yeah, that was a really big moment for him. Obviously, it starts with a Jordan Walker double. I want to get into the environment a little bit. It was in Oliver Marmol's post-game media session last night. One of the reporters started asking him like the first question, and Ali basically stopped him right there and said, "The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that this is a really, really tough environment to play in, and it's I want these guys to experience it and know how to have success in it." That was you don't hear like Ali just like do a hard stop and change the subject all that often. He did that last night, so that tells me that that's a really important thing that went down, that the fact that the heart rates did not go fast last night in front of the 45,000 people, however many it was, that the fact that Ali thinks it's that important means we should all take note of it.
So, you know, I'm glad you brought it up, because I was on the field when everybody came out of the dugout to congratulate each other. And he and I normally do a fist bump or say a couple of words to each other. He said, "This was a really good situation for us tonight." He said, 45,000? Huh, just like that. I mean, I think he really got a kick out of how his ball club responded. And I'll tell you right now, this is the best, most electric ballpark in baseball, period. I know we think we have the greatest fans in baseball. This bunch out here in San Diego, I think, trumps that. They get there early. It's not like Dodger Stadium. They get there early and they stay late. And they are full of energy, and you can't help but notice it. But, you know, I give them a lot of credit, the San Diego fans. They only have one pro sports team, and they really got behind this team in San Diego. They have some star players for sure. But I think that they can really get in the heads of a lot of teams, especially young players. And we have nothing but young players, and they responded well.
I don't know if you do this, Claves. It's probably me because I just get paranoid about things. But every single day that goes by, I go into the game, and it's like, okay, is this going to be the thing, the day where things start to slow down a little bit? And I'm looking at it from an individual standpoint, and sometimes I do that with Jordan Walker. And Jordan Walker doesn't need to hit home runs to be successful. He has two doubles yesterday. He almost hit a home run. He hit the living you know what out of one of those. And his two doubles are a really, really big deal in yesterday's game. He comes around to score on one of them. And it's just another day where we can all kind of breathe easy because we know that what Walker is doing is continuing to work.
Well, I look at it this way. For every day that he has success like he did last night, let's throw in the fact he's looking at a lot more walks. That's one less day we have to hold our breath on whether Jordan Walker is for real or not. He's doing all the little things. I mentioned the walks. Teams are starting to pitch around him a little bit more because they feel like they can get anybody who's hitting behind him out. But the fact is that because of Burleson getting on base, we're seeing Herrera getting on base, there's traffic in front of him. So they really don't have a choice in some cases. But the fact that he's not swinging at pitches out of the strike zone like he did last year just tells us that there's truly a session of maturity that's taking place with him. And it's fun to watch.
It really is. And you appreciate it for what he's doing. And let's be clear, like last night was not a great offensive night for the ball club. They score the two runs that they have five hits was. I don't have the box score in front of me, but it was something like that. But sometimes it's about the approach, and we hear Ollie talk about that. I know that Ollie cares if the team wins or loses. He cares very strongly if the team wins or loses. But what I think he cares even more about is the process in which you get there. That if you do all the things right, at the end of the day, you're going to win more games than you lose. Nobody was killing this team when they got swept by the Mariners because they went out there and they put together good at bats.
They
played
every
well
game.
Every day.
Yeah.
They happened to get beat by a better team. And I look at that game last night, and yeah, I see the two runs and not that many hits, but I see a team that was taken pretty solid at bats from top to bottom, and that's going to pay off sometimes, as it does last night.
Well, let's go back to this. They didn't really have a runner in scoring position until like the fifth or sixth inning. But once they got people on base via the walk and a couple of hits, there was some traffic on the bases. And you know, I know the score says 2-1. Cardinals could have easily won that game 5-1. I mean, they had some opportunities. They just couldn't push a runner along or couldn't drive in a run with nobody out. But they had the opportunities. And ironically, they were really beyond the seventh inning. And it just says that they continue to grind out at bats, and they're going to be nights like that. And you know what, Matt? There's going to be a night where they will hit a wall, okay? It comes with the territory. They're going to hit a wall. I think the question would be, how soon does it take for them to get up and get back on their horse and start playing the baseball that has really, in some people's opinions, really surprised baseball and how well they played? And I think there's another gear for this ball club. I really do. And once you get a couple other guys going, then this is going to really be fun.
You can't turn on MLB Network, MLB Network Radio, watch Foul Territory, like any of these national things. You can't turn it on right now without seeing people talk about the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are a flagship franchise for Major League Baseball. So when they are doing well, they are going to be spoken about. But Claves, it's fun to see just how many people from a national perspective have really taken note of what's going on right now with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I kind of look at it a little differently. I've never been enamored with what a national person says because they don't see the ball club enough. They don't know the interactions. And I go back to when Tyler O'Neill and Oliver Marmol got sideways on a situation that he eventually moved on to another team or two since then. If people only knew what was going on internally, they would have never said half the things they said. And the national media jumped all over the fact that, well, Ollie did this and he didn't do that and he's lost the clubhouse. And that was the furthest from the truth. you know, it's nice that they say good things, but it's something I don't lose any sleep over if they don't say anything at all.
It's funny you mentioned the O'Neal thing. That still like festers with some people. I was at the winter. I'm not going to say who. I was talking to a Hall of Fame player, a player whose plaque is in Cooperstown, and we were just having a general conversation, and he goes, you know, I'm not a big Oliver Marmol fan, and it all stems back to that when he got sideways with Tyler O'Neal. And I told him what went down and how, you know, really Ollie in many ways was standing up for other players in the clubhouse and doing things like that. And he goes, oh, I didn't know any of that. That kind of changes
things.
That's
my point. Yeah. And the thing is, here's what really rubs me the wrong way about this. We have too many methods of communication where if they see something like that or they hear something like that, they can pick up the phone and call you or text you or me or anybody else who has a better idea of what's going on. But they just elect to go on first notion, not understanding the bigger picture. And that's why I don't put a lot of faith in a lot of people who make these grandiose comments one way or the other. And they don't have to validate it through me. OK, I'm not saying if you don't talk to Claves, you don't know what you're talking about. But there are just too many sources, too many methods, too many ways that you can get the real truth and the real facts in a matter, whether they're good or bad. And sometimes I think we take the wrong route in being able to ascertain information. And so I've kind of walked away from that segment. Whether they say good things about the Cardinals or not, I really don't put much stock into it.
That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauley. This is the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang. Wayne Randazzo is going to join us at about 12:30. We've still got a lot more to get to. We'll take a break and come back with more in just a moment here on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX. It's the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. That's Mike Claiborne. He is in San Diego where the Cardinals beat the Padres last night by a 2-1 score. And we're going to talk with Wayne Randazzo coming up in just a few moments at the bottom of the hour. He is going to be on the call tonight for Apple TV. I don't know if you've heard, Claves, but there is certainly a good number of both Cardinals and Padres fans are a little bit frustrated by the fact that this four-game series is on four different TV outlets. Of course, you can always listen here on KMOX, but ESPN, Apple TV, Big Fox, Cardinals TV for four games.
Well, you know, I think, and I've had a chance to watch our local TV guys and Chip and Brad and Mark Sweeney and Danny Wexelman, and they do an outstanding job. I'm in the radio business, man. So you can always find Cardinal baseball right here. So, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things if you want to watch the game. But like I said, I'm in the radio business, and you can always find Cardinal baseball right here on KMOX and certainly on the Cardinal Radio Network powered by Graybar.
Absolutely.
How's
Matthew
that?
Liberatore.
Short
answer. That's great. That's a perfect answer. Matthew Liberatore last night pitches really well. The only run he gave up, it was literally a check swing, like stoinker down the right field line. Have you ever seen a check swing go that far? I mean, that traveled like almost 300 feet down there.
I mean, it was funny because Bogaerts basically, Ricky Horton made a great point. He said it wasn't even a full swing. He just kind of threw the bat at the ball. And he just jumped off his bat. And, you know, Libby was pretty good after that. He had his 300 career strikeout last night. He picked off a runner. I mean, he just did a lot of little things. And Ricky noticed something that in keeping runners closer to the bag, he's now using a slide step. Not all the time, but just on certain situations, just to make you think. And a slide step certainly can keep a runner a little closer to the base. We're seeing a guy that's really starting to take that next step. You know, he started the season as the opening day starter. And in most eyes, that considers you to be the number one guy. And I think last night he really showed that he's kind of making that progress in the six innings. And he gave him six good innings. And you know what? Probably could have gone out for another one. But you had a rested bullpen. And Soriano came in and did a really nice job, followed by JoJo. And then when you look at what Riley O'Brien was able to do, and none of those guys threw a lot of pitches last night. So you may have all those guys available again. And when you have a four-game series, Matt, you really have to be careful with your bullpen. Even though you have a day off on Monday, you want to make sure that you use bullets to be able to win these games after last night.
Liberatore used his curveball a fair amount last night. He threw 16 curveballs. He hasn't done that this year, and he got three swings and misses on it as well. Seven swings, three whiffs. The curveball has been a pitch for him in the past. It has not been a pitch for him this year. We're still fairly early, but as you're looking at kind of the evolution of a guy on what he is going to become as the season goes along, for me, that was the key point last night because he's been okay this year. He hasn't been great. He throws that curveball in last night, and it felt like he found a bit of a different gear.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think he lost confidence in it for a while because, he told you and I that he was throwing a splitter a little bit more. He was going to throw that a little bit more. And we still see it, but that was his pitch. He was proud of that thing, the curveball, but it started to – It was a little too big in the strike zone, I guess is the best way to put it. And he'd hang it from time to time, and he paid a price for it. But last night, he had a real conviction about throwing it, and he got some really good results. So the question is now for that team, the scouts in the next time, now they have to look for that. My question is, do you throw the curveball? Do you show it? Or do you go back to the splitter to wipe out someone? So I think he's got plenty of options in front of him. I think the question is being convicted to stay with those pitches that you can get people out with. And the other thing you have to take into account, you still need a fastball. Fastball had good movement on it because, when you show the curveball or maybe the splitter, that might be your out pitch, especially when you get a guy with two strikes. But it's always important to get ahead in the count, and I saw that last night. He was good. And by the way, the walk that he gave up to start at the ruckus in the first inning, that was so borderline. I was surprised they didn't challenge that. But because it was so early in the game, they took a pass on it and took their chances. They gave up the run, but that was the only one they gave up.
If you are looking for his next step that could find a new level of another gear for him, I think what you just alluded to is right. It's the fastball, and the fastball is a little bit better last night. He threw a lot of four-seamers, threw a couple cutters in there, got a couple sinkers in there. But he's got even last year, the fastball was not a pitch that he had a ton of success with. As somebody who wants to see Matthew Liberatore really succeed, I am hopeful to see that fastball have more and more effectiveness as the year goes along.
Yeah, and here's something else to kind of surprise me a little bit as I'm looking at my notes from last night. They loaded that lineup, San Diego, with a bunch of righties, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, righties, Libby's handled fairly well this year. I mean, right-handed hitters are hitting just 270. The lefties are killing them. The lefties are hitting 341. And you would have thought, but then when you look at their left-handed bench, they didn't really have much to offer because they are truly a right-handed dominated team. They didn't really have Gavin Sheets is the only guy that you could use in that situation. But sometimes, man, you got to look at the numbers and then say, well, how do you cover the rest? Especially, he's kind of a reverse split guy, much like we used to see with Andre Pallante.
Yeah, and we'll see if that plays out over the 162 games. Last thing for you before we get to Wayne Randazzo at the bottom of the hour. I'm not gonna say the bullpen has been fantastic this year. There's obviously some guys that have struggled. There's some nights that it has not been great. But still, when they get to the late parts, they've got some guys that they can trust. And we saw that last night with Soriano, Romero, and O'Brien. And man, oh man, between those three, they only gave up one hit. They combined for three strikeouts. I think Cardinals fans can breathe a lot easier every single time the bullpen puts together a performance like they did last night.
Well, and I think that's why Ali was so pumped after the game, because this was a huge test for Soriano and JoJo and Riley O'Brien. JoJo has a little bit more length in his career, but man, Matt, that place was going crazy. And, you get caught up in the emotion. I mean, the fans are right on top of you. They've got a great system. Their marketing department really keeps the fans engaged. And you want to see how guys hold up. And I think they passed a really good test last night. And let's not forget the fact that the ninth inning started off with the top of the order. Okay, so this wasn't a situation where they were facing 7, 8, and 9. They were facing the top of the order, and you had your best guy on the mound, and he was able to put them down 1, 2, 3.
Riley O'Brien tying Mason Miller last night for the Major League lead in saves with 11. And hopefully when this series comes to an end, Riley O'Brien is alone in Major League Baseball when it comes to having the most amount of saves. That's Mike Claiborne in San Diego. I'm Matt Pauly in St. Louis. You don't want to go anywhere. Wayne Randazzo is going to be on the call tonight as the Cardinals play on Apple TV. He is a play-by-play broadcaster who is going to join us in just a moment or so as you're locked into the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
It is the Friday edition of the Gas House Gang here on KMOX. Cardinals baseball this evening. They are matched up against the Padres looking for a victory to secure at least a series split of the four-gamer. Of course, you'll hear it right here on KMOX. For those of you who are watching the game, you'll be able to watch it on Apple TV. And on the call tonight, it is going to be Wayne Randazzo alongside of Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. We welcome Wayne onto the program right now. Wayne, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Absolutely. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, and certainly looking forward to having you on the call tonight. Let's start with this before we, and I know you get asked this question every single time you do a Cardinals game and you do one of these interviews, but how often do you think about the Albert Pujols 700 home run that you were on the call for when you are doing one of these Friday night games involving the Cardinals?
Yeah, it certainly brings back memories every time. I mean, it was such a cool moment. I mean, one of the most historic home run milestones you could see in Major League Baseball. I mean, 700 has been touched so little in the history of the sport, and to get the opportunity a few years ago when Albert did it, and for him to have that kind of night when he did do it, the two home runs in one game, and it was just all very special. And you know, I'll never forget it, and I'm glad that people still associate it, you know, with me all these years later.
As far as this Cardinals team now, it looks very different than that team a few years ago. They're playing great baseball. They've got them and the Padres basically are at the exact same spot from a record standpoint. Looks like a really good series on paper. Last night, a tight game. What have you noticed from this Cardinals team as they are surprising just about everybody in baseball the way they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how well some of these guys have hit. You know, I think that you never know when guys get called up to the major leagues what it's going to look like for a young team. And, you know, it took Jordan Walker a little while to figure it out. He's still so young. I think, you know, it seems like Walker's been at this for a few years because he has, but he's still not even 25 years old. I mean, he's still a guy that's, you know, one of the younger players in the league, really. And, you know, you're seeing him have a breakout season so far. You know, Weatherholt has come up and has had a lot of success for being at the very beginning of his major league career. You know, he's kind of just taken to the league, you know, seemingly pretty easily and been able to fit right in as a serious major league player. You know, Mason Winn had the big hit yesterday, and again, kind of the same guy where he's still really young. Still has some experience, and you're seeing all of it kind of come together for these guys. So it's an interesting group. You know, it's a long season, and you don't know as they play together really for the first time like this without any serious veteran leadership. You know, I suppose they'll have some when Nupar is back, but they don't have a lot of veterans on this team, and we'll see how things turn out as far as a long season. But I'm sure Cardinals fans have to be excited for this budding core and how that they've played here for the first 6 weeks.
You've got the best of both worlds because you get to work as a team broadcaster, but then also you're doing this national stuff where you get to see so many teams across baseball. You just mentioned so many of the great, you know, very fun, good young Cardinals, and we'll see what they turn into. How much do you enjoy, because baseball's in such a good spot right now when it comes to the young players who they really look like they're on a path to be very impactful. How much do you enjoy just being able to see what's going on right now in Major League Baseball with so much young, exciting talent?
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day. The Angels are playing the White Sox, yeah. And you know, they've got Murakami up and doing all sorts of crazy stuff early in the year, and Colson Montgomery is blossoming for them, and it's just a constant evolution in this sport of players that come through. And as part of that evolution, you know, the Cardinals kind of saw the other end of that the last couple of years, seeing Nolan Arenado. I mean, who was a bigger star 10 years ago than Nolan Arenado? There weren't many. And, you know, he's kind of on the downside of his career now. But then, and same for Goldschmidt, who was with the Cardinals and you know, had some really good years there, but then also saw him start to get a bit older. And now you see this young group come up, and it's just constantly evolving. And I think that's the great thing about this sport, is that you see right before your eyes, you know, year in and year out, the young players start to move up, the older players start to move out or move down. And it goes on and on and on forever. And I think that's something that, you know, we can really take to heart. It mimics life in that regard. And it's a cool thing about seeing the sport grow and evolve is how these young players get better and start to become stars at this level.
Hey, Wayne, I wanted to ask you about your ball club, the Angels. Jose Soriano has gotten off to a terrific start. Where did this come from? When did the light switch turn on for him? And also, give me your thoughts on what you think of the ABS so far.
Yeah, Soriano, you know, it's kind of been there for him. I mean, he has this incredible power sinker. He's got a good breaking ball. He's got a split change that is seemingly unhittable at times. And he has so much movement on all of his pitches. I mean, it really was just about consistency for him. And I think in the first month of the season, he's found some of that, where he's able to go from start to start without having really any blips. He's had some neck soreness his last couple of starts, so he hasn't quite looked the same as he did in those first six. But hopefully that's something that's temporary, and he can get back to where he was in the first month of the season when he was the American League Pitcher of the Month. So, you know, I think for Soriano, it's just a matter of making sure his delivery is consistent. And he'll have good results just with the way he throws the ball and what his pitches can do. He's going to be able to succeed if he has any consistency with that delivery whatsoever. ABS has been great. I think that they've, you know, it's good to have some of these calls right. It's good to have a mechanism to get these calls right. I think it keeps the umpires honest. I think we're seeing the home plate umpire zones are better this year. Because of ABS, you don't see a kind of a takeover of a bad zone over the course of a game like you have before. And, you know, I understand that the challenge system still leaves room for missed calls. You know, I think that's still a better version than having ABS call every pitch, because then I think the game looks different. And I think to sacrifice the game looking different with regard to what the catcher and home plate umpire are doing back there, it's okay to have some missed calls every now and then, as long as you have the mechanism to get these calls right, especially in big moments. So I think it's been successful, and I don't really think they should tinker too much more with it than what they have now.
Wayne Randazzo continuing to join us. He'll be on the call tonight for Apple TV. The Cardinals' opponent, the San Diego Padres. Wayne, it's odd because their big players like Machado and Tatis are not performing. Their overall offensive numbers, middle of the pack. Overall pitching numbers, middle of the pack. They do have a lights-out bullpen, but it doesn't seem like the sum of the parts doesn't seem to equal the record, yet here they are. What do you make of this Padres team?
Yeah, I think
thanks
the bullpen
a lot, Matt, for opening up that can of worms.
I think the bullpen definitely cures a lot of that. I think whatever ills you might have, when you have a lockdown bullpen like they do, and they certainly do, that you're not blowing leads. You know, you're able to stay in games, and you're able to win more than you probably ordinarily would have. So I think that they are an interesting team. They do have some good players and some great players, and you have to trust that Tatis, especially because, you know, he's still young in his own right, is going to figure things out and put up some numbers by the end of it. You know, Machado, I don't know. I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who's got a lot of miles at this point. He's been in the league, you know, almost 15 years. And, you know, it just might not look the same, like we talked about Arenado earlier. I mean, it could just be headed in that direction at this point for Manny. But, you know, I think Tatis will be fine. They do have, you know, Jackson Merrill as well, who's also kind of been up and down so far this season. Who's had some really good years so far as a major league player. So it's an interesting group, but, you know, they're going to get some guys back from injuries. Pavetta's out right now. Musgrove is out right now. Both of those guys should join the rotation at some point, which I think will strengthen their pitching a little bit more than what we've seen from the starters' standpoint. You know, it's going to be Griffin Canning tonight, who's just really kind of a number five depth type of guy for them at this stage. But I think they'll be fine. I think that they've been able to put together some wins in this with this group, and they'll have the trade deadline too to firm up, because you know they'll be aggressive. So I think ultimately they'll be fine. But I've heard from more than one person that they feel like there's something missing with this Padres group.
Wayne Rendazzo, he is a play-by-play broadcaster for Apple TV. He is joining us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. For those of you listening, of course, we'll have it on KMOX, but for those of you who are watching, tonight's game is going to be part of the Apple Friday Night Package. They do a great job with their presentation of baseball, and hopefully people are able to enjoy it. Wayne, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. Have a good call tonight, and we'll see you certainly down the line.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, very
thanks,
good.
Wayne.
That is, again, Wayne Rendazzo. Does local broadcasting for the Angels, and then moonlights on the weekend doing the Friday night Apple games, and he's going to once again be doing the game tonight. I always thank Klebs about him, because the night that Pujols hit the 700 home run, he was the only one on TV. John Rooney, I remember saying to John, you know, there are probably less than 15 or 20 people in the history of the world that have been on play-by-play of a 700th home run, and it's a cool group for those guys to be in.
Yeah, you know, it's probably less than that when you think about it, because I don't recall Babe Ruth being on the radio then, and when you think about Henry Aaron, you think about Albert and the other guy, you know, yeah, it may be 8, maybe 9, but that's about it. And, you know, the irony was we were the only ones that Albert talked to after that game. I mean, yeah. You know, normally you come out on the field and Albert was, "Nah, I'm good." And he said, "What you got?" And I was like, "Well, I guess we can talk here a little bit." But it was a very incredible night for all of us. I'll never forget it. And I thought John's call was as good as anything you're ever going to hear.
I agree, and I love that he gave the time in that. We have in the Cardinal Radio broadcast booth, Klebs, we have a bunch of pictures that are up on the wall, and there is the picture of you talking to Albert that night, and no disrespect meant to any other picture in that, but that's the one that I can't tell you how often I look at that picture, and it just really puts a smile on my face. It's my favorite picture that we've got up in the radio booth.
Well, I appreciate you saying it. I think it was either Chris Tuno or Taka Yagiyamoto who took that picture. And, you know, every time I look at it, I just kind of think about being there for that night. And I've been able to be in a lot of different environments for different moments. But, man, you know, that was the first time I ever saw a 700 home run in my life. And to be able to talk to that guy and know him was really something special that I won't ever forget. And hopefully Ben Boyce getting another one of those photos. And when Albert rolls in for the Hall of Fame, I think that might be the one photograph I hang in my office. Or maybe I might just put it in the living room over the TV so everybody can see it.
Will you ask Albert to sign it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because you're not a big autograph guy. You're not a big memorabilia guy.
I am not. I am not. I was telling you the other day, I have a game-worn Wayne Gretzky jersey, a Bobby Orr jersey, both autographed, and a Julius Erving jersey when he played for the New York Nets. And there may be a couple more autographs. I think it's a Marshall Faulk one somewhere, but they're not ones that I display. I'm not really an autograph seeker, and I think people who've gotten to know me over time don't even ask me to get somebody an autograph. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? I'm interesting you even bring this up. I love San Diego. Okay, this is one of my favorite places to come because of the ballpark and the environment. But if they have one problem here, it's the autograph seekers who really can rub you the wrong way in how they approach athletes. And I've seen it almost come into where one guy said something to a former player to the point where had he said it to me, we probably would have won. We would have been throwing hands. The athlete was the player was a better person than me, but these guys out here are very aggressive, and we're not talking about kids. We're talking about adults, you know, who take it and sell it or whatever, and then they get kids to come up and ask for it. You know, it's out of hand out here, and it's one of the few places you can say that about. And maybe because we don't have as many what I would call recognizable players, there aren't as many this time around. But I remember when we had some other really well-known players that would come out here, and it was a circus.
The aggressive autograph seekers are a different breed of human being.
Yeah, they are.
They're a different group. I have one for people watching the video stream. I have one autograph that I keep. I'm pointing to it right now. At one point, Sports Illustrated ran a bunch of retro covers, and they did one with Stan Musial. And my dad ran into Stan one night or one afternoon at the hardware store, and he got it signed to me. So it's to Matt, Stan Musial. It is the only autograph I own. I'm not a big autograph guy, but that is one of my most treasured pieces of memorabilia.
You know, speaking of autographs, I remember one year the great Bill Russell was in town, and he was a friend of Tony La Russa's. And I knew the story about him and autographs. And there were some players who came up and wanted to get his autograph. He said, you know what? I don't really do autographs, but I'd be more than happy to shake your hand. And there were a couple of guys that took offense to it, but that's who he was. And I get it, you know, how the autograph thing has just gotten way out of hand for some athletes. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're paying for it and they have an autograph signing session, that's a whole different situation, you know. But when you inconvenience someone and just your tone alone is one that just doesn't is not acceptable, then be careful for what you wish for.
That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of The Gas House Gang here on KMOX.
Now back to The Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling and by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
The Cardinals and the Padres play game two of their four-game series tonight right here on KMOX. Mike Claiborne's going to be on the call alongside of Ricky Horton. I'll have you for pregame and postgame. 8:45 first pitch tonight from Petco, and that means coverage here on KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network will begin at 7:50. Claves, the pitching matchup tonight, Michael McGreevy against Griffin Canning. McGreevy's numbers have been fantastic this year, 2.52 ERA. He is the guy who most commands his pitches on the staff. He's the guy who most puts pitches where he wants to put them, and we're seeing the impact of that because even though some of the there's some hard hit stuff in there, there's some other things in there, he's been effective in large part because of his ability to command pitches.
And let's throw in the fact he's not scared. I mean, he's a guy that takes the ball every time he's given the opportunity, and it's just shown up. And that's one of the things you appreciate about him. He gives you a chance. He's not going to be overpowering. He's not going to throw 98, but he doesn't throw it in the same place twice in the same at bat. And he's been fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to him tonight. Rain Randazzo talked about Griffin Canning a little bit. This is his second start of the year, so he's trying to get it figured out, but he's probably a back-end rotation guy. And you have to take advantage of those guys. You have to take advantage of those guys and get them out early and try and burn up that bullpen early. So when those bridge guys have to be called upon tomorrow or perhaps Sunday, bullets in the chamber.
I don't know about you, Claves. I love watching Michael McGreevy's reactions as he's on the, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. He has more body language than any other pitcher in the rotation, maybe any other pitcher on the team. And I mean, he's a guy with a big personality anyways, and you see that personality come out. This is the entertainment business for people who have forgotten about that. And McGreevy, it's entertainment with him. I love watching the way he conducts himself on the mound.
That's a great point, Matt. Nothing seems to rattle him. You know, he's a guy that just shows up and he just pitches. And it's worked so far. And you know what? I don't worry about his velocity. He's got to be fine. Don't get me wrong. But and then when he does give it up, it's not where he has this big overwhelming inning. If he gives up a home run, normally it's a solo job. So it's been fun to watch him develop. And you're right about the personality where he just kind of lets it roll off his back and moves on to the next situation.
You mentioned him not being afraid either. He'll try things in the middle. He's got this. Why not? Let's see if this works or not.
Worked out in the bullpen. Let's see if it works against this 340 hitter I'm about to face.
Yeah, future Hall of Famers you're gonna face off against tonight, and that's all right. Claves, great stuff as always. Have a wonderful call. We'll be talking to you during pregame, and we'll be listening to you and Ricky, and hopefully the Cardinals come up with another victory tonight.
All right, go get a nap in. It's going to be a late one.
It is going to be a late one. That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. We've got the Dave Glover Show on the way next. I'll be back with you alongside of Kevin Wheeler at 5 o'clock for Redbird Rush Hour. We'll do about an hour and 45 minutes worth of Sports Open Line. Then I'll have you for pregame, and then Claves and Ricky are going to have the call of the game. We got a lot coming up here on KMOX. You do not want to go anywhere. It is the Dave Glover Show, and it is on the way next. This has been the Gas House Gang on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.